FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, if you'll take the chorus stop.
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 302, recorded Sunday. Yes, Sunday, September 23rd, 2018. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Everybody.
Rick Alvarez. And his beer can. And Mohawk Jim Black.
Yes, after a short absence, I am back. Channeling a little bit of Swage, a little bit of Daniel Ross, trying something different, you know, with the...
You look more like the Red Rooster.
Huh?
You look more like the Red Rooster from WWF back in the 80s.
I'd be okay with that. He got an action figure. I love an action figure.
You look more like a generic biker guy from a Mad Max movie. The kind that just sort of
gets killed early in the movie.
Hey, if it means I can star alongside Michael Berryman, that would be golden.
He falls off in the desert, and we never see him again.
That's fine. as long as I get a paycheck.
Did you say Mad Max?
Mad Max.
You said Mad Max, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out, what is Mad Max? Is that like a sci-fi channel, you know, bad?
It's sci-fi channel's attempt to remake Robot Jocks. With sharks.
You mean
just like the one you just jumped, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about MicroMasters and Action Masters, the originals, in light of the Transformers Siege War for Cybertron figures that's getting ready to come out. MicroMasters are going to be featured heavily in that line. We're going to look a little bit at that era. Plus, by the time this airs, the Bumblebee movie official trailer will have aired. We've been seeing some teasers, but the first official trailer should air as of this recording tomorrow, I believe it is. So
it's supposed to be 3 a.m. Eastern, if I'm not mistaken.
So we're going to talk a little bit about expectations and things of that nature regarding the upcoming Bumblebee movie. I believe it's going to be dropping in December sometime. Do you know what the exact date is?
Christmas.
Is it on Christmas Day?
I believe so. The first trailer we got said Christmas. So.
Well,
I'm sticking with that.
Christmas means November, dude.
Yeah. Or like early
Christmas
November.
November. That's fine. Turkey and presents. I'm good.
But we're going to be talking about all those things. But first, I want to December 21st. Okay. That's technically
Christmas week.
Still enough time for parents to run out and get their kids Bumblebee toys after taking them to see the movie.
God knows they'll stock enough.
Yeah, there'll be plenty, I'm sure.
Think back to 2007. It's going to be like that plenty all the first over wave. Again.
Yeah, it'll be the first two waves and nothing else.
It'll be a Bumblebee, Battle Damage Bumblebee, Nightshade Bumblebee.
Deep Malibu Sea Recovery Bumblebee. Effort Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Economic Crash Bumblebee.
Yeah, Super Intelligent Street Luge Bumblebee.
Me Too Bumblebee.
Jim Black Mohawk Bumblebee.
breast cancer awareness bumblebee.
No.
Abandoned movie concepts bumblebee and Barricade.
It'd be like 10 bumblebees. It's like the Mattel organized the case assortments or something for this.
Let's just do what we did for He-Man. 6 He-Mans per case and
a Skeletor.
2 Ram-Mans. Why not?
Yeah, and it was Disco Skeletor too. You know, that just on top of everything else.
And they wonder why that line failed. I thought the 2002 He-Man series was great. I loved I loved the sculpts. I loved the figures. I loved the cartoon. I'm like, this. They've got it going on. This is the way He-Man should be. It felt like He-Man. But they canceled the line because it was doing poorly. It was doing poorly because all you had was He-Man and Skeletor on the damn shelves.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to it. That happened to Thundercats in 2011.
Yeah. And Bandai screwed up the line, and Cartoon Network wasn't getting that sweet money from this from the figure sales, so they just basically Cartoon Networked it. You know, that's my verb now, Cartoon Networked.
Mm-hmm.
Or Voltron Force was another one, having the modular lions that could interchange. Never even got toys.
Scramble City Lions.
Yeah, they were. I mean, any of them could be the torso. I loved it.
Well, essentially. But
I still want toys of that.
I want to add a programming note as you're probably viewing this. You are viewing this as a pre-record, because I'm actually going to be at the monthly Transformers Collectors Meetup, as this is airing. So that's why this is being pre-recorded. Last week we didn't have an episode. I was attending a family reunion and we didn't have, enough time, or I didn't have enough time to get together everybody to make a pre-record for that. I do apologize for that, but, you know, family comes first, and, you know, sometimes we just can't do things like that. But as you're viewing this, 4:30 Eastern, I'm trying to kind of find that happy medium on a Saturday to where we can all be on. I know Don's not been able to be on for several weeks because of his scheduling, and by moving it kind of in between where we were and where we have been doing it the last few weeks, I'm hoping that I've found the happy medium where everybody can be on there. And Jim is so happy about this non-transforming Optimus Prime. Who cares, Jim? Nobody cares. Only you.
Shiny.
Wait, is that the Hollywood Wheels ones?
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. Nobody cares, Jim. It doesn't transform. Nice display, please. It's like an Action Master segue.
It's a glorified RPM.
It's a Titan class RPM.
That's right. The failures in the title, RPM. Rip-ups.
Well, okay, rip-ups. RPM, RPM, that's not Power Rangers, because that's not a failure. That's
I had a whole line of RPMs that I wanted to do that was all the War for Cybertron, and we never got them made.
I owned two of them. I think I had Prime and Bumblebee, and that was it. Yeah. But before we go into the topic of discussion tonight, let's do our Ouch My Wallet. Ouch My Wallet, as always, is brought to you by CapturedParade.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping. And now you have the benefit of Stasis Pod, where you can place your orders now, make your purchases now, and have them hold until you're ready to ship, and then click on that ship, and it'll send it on its way. Also, Ripped Apparel. Check out RippedApparel.com and use the promo code TFYLPPOD and save 10% on your order. Unless there's a better promotion going on, then you'll get that one. But if there is not, then you will get 10% off your order with TFYLP pod. Put that in the promo code there.
Remember, it's spelled Tiflip.
Tiflip. Tiflip. Tifilp. Tifilp. Yeah, Tifilp. Also, if you love what we do, go up there at the top of the screen and follow that little link. I know it's not clickable, but, you know, you can type that in. I think your fingers can do that. Patreon.com/TFYLP helps us keep the lights on every day, or every month, rather. And without you, the fans, TFYLP could not continue, and we thank each and every one of you who continue to support us each and every month. Patreon.com/TFYLP. So, Don, you haven't been on in a while. You want to show off a few things that you've picked up a little bit?
Let someone else go first. I need to go grab the one thing, the main two, of the, one of the two things I want to show off. So can Rick or Jim go real quick while I grab it?
Sure. Jim.
Jim, why don't you show us that Optimus Prime you got, buddy?
Oh, gosh, Don, put your pants on.
Your pants, not Duron's.
Put your pants
on. How can a man that large have such a flat ass?
Just like me. So why are you so proud of, about this non-transforming Optimus Prime, Jim?
It's just die-cast metal G1 Prime. Or as
that doesn't
G1
transform. It's essentially a semi-truck painted like Optimus Prime.
I don't know if it's the same exact model of semi that the G1 was or not. I'm not sure. But overall, it's a neat display piece. You got G1-looking packaging with the grid in the background. And, you know, vintage artwork.
Well, I would hope so, since it's G1 Prime.
Right. I'm just saying, you know, overall.
It's G1 Prime. Let's put him in our model packaging.
It's really pretty for being only $7 at Walmart. You know, I'm quite pleased with it. And then other than that, I also have invested in this year's tribute to Weak Hip Joints.
Weak Hip Joints.
Abominus.
Oh. Yours has Weak Hip Joints?
Yeah, just Hunger seems to have weak hip joints. I've heard other folks comment the same with theirs too, so it might be a.
Mine seems okay.
Doesn't
I don't have any major issues with mine.
The G1 rifle fits, and I'm happy about that.
Nice.
So I don't have to worry about any kind of third party add-ons or anything.
I have a slightly oversized repro of the G1 rifle he's using for mine. Nice.
Sized. Overcompensated.
Super sized. Yes. Overcompensating. Excellent. Speaking of overcompensating, Rick.
Jim, to you, you know, I did end up getting the large Titan class RPM Optimus, as well as the movie Optimus and movie Bumblebee. And, you know, because I'm that douche, I had to buy two of each, one to open and one to keep sealed.
You're just a whore for Transformers.
I don't know why I keep doing it. I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen all the rest of those, but I went ahead and passed on them all. But this G1, I had to grab it.
But I did get something else, and I made a new friend in Canada, and I got myself a Trax. I believe that's how you say it.
G1 Trax.
Nice. What I paid for this, you know what? I don't always advocate for this, but sometimes it's nice to be nice to people. So I was nice to someone, and he was nice to me in return. So thank you to my friend in Canada. And
Good looking box.
I got a Case Fresh G1.
Not a reissue.
Not the reissue.
No, that's a knockoff. Everybody knows Hot Rod was packed the other direction.
That is
this
minty.
Is a real thing.
That is minty fresh.
That is.
I just want to show you that there is no crease on the back whatsoever.
You can barely see the spoiler.
So, yes, this one.
Can you tell metal toes or plastic? Can you tell?
You cannot.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hang on. Actually.
Well, because the wheels would be different, too,
wouldn't
they?
Yeah, the wheels. Well, it looks like it's plastic wheels.
Hmm.
How about that?
So that would be plastic toes.
It is right? Plastic wheels. I probably should have checked that prior to.
Now it's still worthless. Just throw it away. I'll take it if you don't want it.
Or just donate it to me.
You know, I got it at a great price, so. I'm happy with it.
And it's not backwards. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah. I got a G1. I got some G1.
G1s.
Yeah.
Speaking of G1s, Don.
Yes.
You're a G1 collector.
I
is he, though?
I'm 49. I'll be 49 next year. I've collected it all. Some I wish I hadn't in retrospect, but that's beside the point.
Instead of playing with your toys now, you gum them once you take your dentures out.
Fought the SDC Madness at Hasbro Toy Shop and got Monkey Primal.
Ooh.
Got him.
I saved a whole 25 cents by ordering the Japanese one through Orson.
Yeah. Well,
does the Japanese one come in the same package?
Don't know.
They're using this picture as a placeholder on Amazon Japan. So,
and what's the difference between the domestic versus Japanese?
We don't know.
There's no difference in the toy.
Yes.
And you enjoy what's included. 25 cents, Daron.
Yes.
Put that towards your car.
Yes.
But I'll be honest, since the Power of the Primes Optimal Optimus really is not a good looking figure to me, and I have Optimal Optimus is the least likable mode for me of Primal's forms. But this looks a lot better in a more uniform color. And plus, I'm not a big, gotta catch them all kind of thing, but it's nice to have all of the 13 primes. Yeah. I did get Predaking, so I've got all the primes now. So I got Primal. No, don't
eat that. Massy attack.
Yeah, he knocked something over. Hey, one of the other things I got last week, a week before last, we've all talked about third party and how people replace things as better things come along. One thing I have not replaced is my Hercules. I like Hercules. I think it still holds up
fairly well.
I know Generation Toys, Toy World, they've all done better Devastators.
I'm still a fan of my Green Giant, man. Still got that.
Yeah. And again, people,
that's what she said.
Back in the day, there was a big debate over which of these two Devastators was the better version. I've got both, but I've got the yellow version just to, counteract that. But I picked up, thanks to an eBay coupon, the Shattered Glass version of Hercules called Perseus. And I got the set for about $150 after eBay coupon and selling some stuff on eBay. And this set was a more limited edition than the Hercules sets. And it comes with the Rage of Hercules set add-on parts. So basically I got about I don't know what that would have been in regular retail, but about $150 I got all six figures and that add-on kit. That's about $25 a figure.
So can't beat that with an ugly stick. Really
weren't they originally closer to like $80 a figure when they came out?
Closer to $100.
Yeah, this was only available as a gift set, and it was okay. I think they did like maybe 2,000 sets, and that was it that they did of this. But it's.
I know Hercules. Whenever it came out, I bought each one of the components of it as they were released, and after it was all said and done, it was just shy of $600 that I'd spent on that combiner.
I think I got mine for about $79 to $80. I didn't pay quite the full price because I was getting them from a guy in China that had the free shipping. And he was about 10 to 15 less on each figure, so mine wasn't quite full retail. Yes, I know, it's terrible. Your window is closed. Sorry. But the big thing that I picked up, this is something that I've been looking at a long time. I never thought I would get it. Basically, I've got about another $150 in this figure, thanks to some Donanomics. 7-Eleven Optimus Prime. The Takara 7-Eleven Japan exclusive with Optimus Prime in the white with the green highlights. He's got the green axe. He's got the sticker sheet included that has a 7-Eleven logo on it. If you can see, he has like a watermelon flavored matrix in there. And
they should have remolded that so there's like a slushy machine in there.
Yeah, I was starting to say, and then have him have like a little cup that he could hold. It looks like a slushy cup.
Exactly.
And there's what I think is one of the best looking. It's a very simple deco, but it really, really just sort of pops the green and the orange against the white. I mean, that just really pops on the trailer.
You know, it's kind of weird that Takara is willing to brand their characters like that. If you think about all the different crossovers that Takara has done, right? And that we really haven't seen that with Hasbro whatsoever, except for you know, that one Target record that came out for Dark of the Moon.
Why is that? Really, I wonder. Seen.
We saw the Valvoline guy, and we saw the you know, that record at Target. And the better deluxe one, would, you know, never came out in the States. I don't know why that is. I can't tell you why that is, but I, you know, like, not that I'm advocating for this, but, you know, why hasn't there been a, you know, Optimus Prime with Toys R Us on the trailer, or Prime with Walmart or Target on the trailer?
Or a new Pepsi Prime.
Well, I mean, we had one 2007.
How I mean, often? Like an MP, though. MP Pepsi Prime, that would be...
Yeah, MP Pepsi Prime, and then the KO, the third-party one would be Diet Coke. I don't know.
Yeah. But, Fresca?
You know, if they Fanta. Really wanted to take Fanta. Advantage of promotions with soda and
things... Jim, you're low. We can't hear you.
Really?
Yes. Your gain is, like, falling off.
And also, nobody loves you.
Hey, and you're also ugly.
Well, yeah. That's genetics.
Yeah.
No, if they really wanted to take advantage of licensing as far as different beverages and things, they could do like different variations of a Mountain Dew Optimus and repaint Optimus into the color of the different flavors of Mountain Dew, like Live Wire, Code Red, you know, and all those.
Well, I mean, you've had the different vape Optimuses. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the green, the
red,
the black. Was there a brown one?
I think there was a gray one.
The gray one, yes. You had the iPod Optimus and Soundwaves. And
yeah.
Well, now remember, Hasbro has done this once before with Cookie Crisp Jazz. So it's not like
it's very few and far between.
But it wasn't. Yeah. But that wasn't Testing. Branded as. Right. Hey, it's a Jazz with a Cookie Crisp logo on it. But it was just available through you know, through the Cracker Jack cereal and the Transformer cereal.
But also there has been a solicitation. All we have is a solicitation. We have anything on it, a Optimus Prime MP10 Ghostbusters.
Again, from Takara.
Yes, from Takara. Again, it's like, okay, I want to see how this turns out.
If the trailer looks like a ghost trap, I might be sold on that.
And Roller might be redesigned to look similar to an Ecto-1, which would make sense to me.
All right, so like you could take your Hollywood Wheels Ecto-1, you know, available at Walmart for $7, and put it in there, so you can deploy the Ecto-1. But you know, like, I think people are just missing the obvious. Like, I kind of want a proton pack. I just kind of want to see Prime with a proton pack. I mean, the trailer is inconsequential to me if he doesn't come with that proton pack.
And then demand that Sideswipe give him his now.
Right, that would actually be in the comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know,
Sideswipe, give me your proton pack now.
Now, with this Ecto Prime. Are we doing like a full brown jumpsuit color scheme, or are we doing like the animated series and having like a white one and a blue one? No.
Well, you know, again, we haven't seen anything, and
it's not slated till this time next year.
Evangelion Optimus as well.
I have the KO of that.
So, you know, Ghostbusters kind of feels like it's 2 years too late.
Or maybe they know something we don't. We'll have to wait and see.
Maybe, but like, I don't know. It just kind of came out of left field.
Yeah, I was hoping
like three quarters of the Takara releases.
Yeah, like the Street Fighter Generations figures.
Those came out of nowhere.
Like, why? Why do these exist? I mean, they're interesting. They're a talking piece.
I was kind of hoping when I first heard the solicitation for the Ghostbusters Optimus that it might be the Optimus Mark III, with that being due out sometime next year, and this Ghostbusters Optimus being due out later on in the year. They would be on the production line at the same time, or roughly the same time.
It may be the first recolor of it or something.
Nah, it's according to what's been translated, it is the MP10 mold. But I was thinking that would be kind of a cool thing to You know, but again, they would. That's probably going to be for a Wonder. I keep wanting to say Wonder Swan, a Wonderfest exclusive or something like that. Either, but something to keep our eyes on for. But you know, that's what I got. I got Punch, Counterpunch, Repugnus.
You stole my thunder. Time. That's that's who I was going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I haven't opened mine. I just have not had time to open mine yet with work and the way it's been. But that's what I've got mostly.
Yeah, I was going to talk about mine because I had mine nearby, real nearby, and yeah, I love this figure. It is a great toy. I love the transformation on it. Looks great in all technically three modes. My biggest gripe about it is, well, two of them. One of them is the way Amazon shipped it, they shipped it in its brown inner case box, but they shipped that in a bubble mailer. Mine arrived okay.
Yes.
Although I've seen a couple people, theirs arrived completely smashed on one side, or smashed altogether, and that's just unacceptable. If you're going to have, and your links are coming up in the video for some reason, but if you're going to have exclusives, don't treat them like you know, the cheapest thing you got. Yeah. My other gripe about this guy is that I got hit with the bad QC again. Mine has, depending on which bot mode you have him in, has two of the same sided hands.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's, as you can see, it's put in by a pin. One side is like upside down, so yeah. Depending on if you have him in, if he's in punch mode, it's his left hand. If he's in counter punch mode, it's his right hand.
And you know, it's so weird because Repugnus came out fairly uniform. Well, I don't recall hearing anything major about Repugnus having a QC issue, and Blastoff still had a few of the lingering issues from the original use of the mold, but nothing really that no one was unexpected. Yeah. But you know, for Punch Counterpunch to be the last of what we can expect for who knows how long, and have that plus the shoulder issue that's been popping up for a lot of people, that's just kind of disappointing that the last one of the three exclusives is possibly the worst QC version.
Yeah.
Okay, I've heard conflicting things on that. Is there a shoulder issue or isn't there?
Some folks are saying
it's upside down. Others are saying it's not.
There's a little notch right there. If you're watching the video, there's a little notch right there. It's on the bottom if you get it out of package. You can transform it. It just doesn't snug up as nice as it should. But if you invert them, which there's like literally no unscrewing or anything you have to do, you just put the chest flap down on the punch mode and stick a little screwdriver or something down in there and separate the orange from the blue just enough to pull that out, flip it over, and then slide it back on each side. And then it goes right back in. There's no stress marks. It doesn't damage the toy unless you are ham-handing it. But I did mine, no problem. And it transforms perfectly now, snugs up just as the way it should.
I watched a video or two, and people are saying it's okay the way it is. But over time, with that part being upside down, it may stress the plastic in the surrounding area. But that notch just not supposed to be there.
So they've determined it is in fact upside down. It's not. Just
it is. There was a guy that I guess there was a reviewer or something other on YouTube had he claimed that it's not misassembled, and I believe Sabertron or Allspark reported the same thing based on that guy's review. And that guy said, if you look at the promotional photos of it, it's installed that way.
That doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean jack. How many times have we seen mistransformed promotional photos? You know, it's like, Yes, it was probably the one that they photographed was probably misassembled, you know. So that doesn't mean anything, you know. Like you said,
the designers are not there when they photograph them.
No,
it's the photographers who are outsourced by Hasbro, working in the Hasbro building, who have to figure out on their own how to transform something. And same thing with the people who set up the displays for like Toy Fair. It's usually like the in-house photography team or packaging team sometimes that has to hot glue them together without the designer being there for input.
I keep thinking back to the, I don't know if you guys remember the Transformers display that was at the Indianapolis Children's Museum a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And how they had RID landfill put together, where you had Hightower Heavy Load and Grimlock all put together, but Wedge was like 15 feet out in front of the rest of him, you know, for whatever reason. It's like, why?
And, you know,
add representation of your brand.
Exactly. But, you know, like I said, the toy, if you don't feel comfortable flipping that part around, it'll still transform. It should still be fine. It's just if you're willing to just do literally it took like 3 minutes to do it, if that, and that's being careful. And again, like no unscrewing of anything, separated that part, flipped it, squeezed it back together. Everything's copacetic. You know, if it was easy enough to pop that pin out, I'd flip the hand, but it wouldn't do any good because it's the wrong side. If they gave me, I don't know, it just pissed me off. But yeah. I still love this toy. It's a great mold. Looks great in all modes. And you can't tell me that counterpunch mold isn't going to be used as a point blank at some point. I mean, it just screams. Even the car mode, you put a spoiler on it, I think it looks like point blank.
One thing I was wondering about that punch counterpunch mold, and I can't really tell looking at the pictures. Is it possible that at one time that mold may have been intended to be a combiner limb?
It's possible,
because I wasn't sure how that inner chamber was. Put together as far as the head and all that in the torso.
You know, it looks like it could have been engineered to where it could be that way, but I don't think it is.
But there's no like hidden square peg or anything?
Mm-mm. No. Because the chest of Counterpunch opens up, as you can see there, and that's where his the car hood literally folds up in there and then stores away in his chest.
Well, because I know he comes with a prime armor thing, so
yeah, that's there specifically for the Prime Master, the Prime Master that comes with him. You can stick it in the back of it and he can use it as a weapon or stick it on the back of the car. I just set it aside in my parts box.
Wonder how long before a third party comes out with a kit for it.
I'm hoping not.
Yeah,
if
but the, the club did a combining, you know, Counterpunch, you know, like
that was just Counterpunch though, not
yeah. So I don't know, do we need that in our lives?
No.
I think it was Trent Troop who actually came up with an idea. Since the club did Punch Counterpunch first, at some point I think it was Trent and Greg Sepulak who said we should do a shattered glass version called Kick Counter Kick.
That sounds kind of cool. But is counter kick an actual word?
Well, you know, punch, counter punch, yeah. Kick, counter kick. It's, you know. It's a fucking toy, Duran. Jesus Christ. God damn it, man.
Meh. Speaking of meh, let's talk about Action Masters and Micromasters. Now, I'll make it no secret.
Count me in.
I never was a huge fan of Action Masters. I like the designs of the characters, the original characters in Action Masters, And I love the fact that in recent years we've gotten some of those characters in transformable, updated versions. You know, like we've got Croc in Titan Returns, exactly. We had, what was it, Kickoff in the BotCon set,
right.
Which was actually one of my favorite decos out of a lot of the BotCon toys.
Well, can we start the conversation with this? We've known Transformers for a while, all of us, because we're older guys. How do you guys in general feel about Action Master characters being made into transforming figures?
I love it because
if done right.
Yeah.
As long as the alt mode represents the parts the figure had originally, to make it make sense.
Well, then that, and I'm glad you brought that up because what I was getting at was Croc.
Okay.
So Croc was made, you know, he was clearly a plane, a bomber type of alt mode. And the headmaster version that we got is a crocodile.
But I'll be honest, it's actually so much better than the Skullcruncher mold that it doesn't flop apart. Just for having a better quality version of that mold, I really don't mind. You know, it's, you know, and really, I mean, it's not. Okay, I'm gonna go off on a tangent, kind of, but it's what it talks about this stuff too. I did not like Action Masters when they came out. I found the concept stupid. I thought it would made no sense to have Transformers that could not transform. They were basically Target Masters or Micromaster kind of with the play sets that, you know, the vehicle that transformed, like the Micromaster stuff and things like that. Through the years,
or trying to be too much like G.I. Joe.
Too much like
if I wanted to play with G.I. Joes, I'd play with G.I. Joes.
I mean, and again, when those came out, I was almost 20 when those came out. So, I mean, I was an older collector already by that point. I mean, I was 14 when the line started, as it was. I would like to think I've gotten better through the years, and I recognize for Action Masters what they were trying to do, trying to make it more compatible with other figures, with your G.I. Joes and your other similarly scaled figures, so kids would have more stuff to play with. You know, they could, you know, play with it too. But yeah, I just never really liked the concept of Transformers that couldn't transform. Now that I'm older, and I see what we're getting from, like, Flame Toys, and we're getting these super great-looking figures that don't transform, but because they don't transform, you get the sculpt, you get the detail, you get the articulation. And I think as a fandom, most of us, if not all of us, have progressed to the point where if the characterization that we love in the media the character is from is represented in the figure that we're getting, not having an alt mode doesn't make that, it doesn't seem to make it that big of a thing anymore.
I have a counterpoint to that, but I'll let Rick say his.
As do I. All right. So thank you. So my first counterpoint is this. The world of toys, as I see it, is splitting into two. There's the world of collectibles for adults and the world of toys for children. The middle doesn't exist anymore. The middle is video games. All right, so you're either an adult collector and you have your parameters for what you want to collect, or you're a child collector and you're collecting because you're a child and you're playing with them. Here's the thing, though. So many Transformers and Marvel and DC and Star Wars, they're all victim of this, Halo as well, fall victim now to the 5 or 4 points of articulation jumbo 12-inch figure.
Yep.
Arms and legs move. Now, it may be a cool representation of the character. Most times it's pretty bland. But 25, 35 years from now, the kids who are playing with those toys, what are they going to want as a masterpiece? Are they going to want a highly articulated version of Heatwave and Chase that look like the show? Or are they going to want Heatwave and Chase that actually transform?
Right. And it's, I mean, I totally see your point. I totally agree with it. It's just, I think as a fandom, and I think this is boils down to the success of IDW. Again, I haven't read a lot of the IDW. I haven't read anything since after All Hail Megatron, since before All Hail Megatron.
Oh, but that's when it got good.
Well, I was mad with the whole Simon Furman lack of headmaster Sunstreaker thing. That was beside the point. The characterizations they put into the comics, I think, became more important to a lot of people than the transforming and the alt mode. I just believe that to be the case for a lot of people. That's why we're seeing Flame Toys doing that drift, doing that Tarn, doing the Star Saber, doing the Victory Leo that sort of braves up the Star Saber.
But is that not a response to third party, which has been specifically Make Toys, which has been inspired greatly by the comics?
It probably is to some degree. It's just, I don't think a non-transforming Transformer figure is facing the same levels of bile that it was getting when the concept first came out, because the characters these toys represent are more important to be captured properly than the inclusion of an alt mode may cause the figure to be less than what it needs to be to be that character representation on somebody's shelf. You know, I think it can go. It depends on the person, but I mean, I've talked to people at shows and stuff and online where that drift that Flames Toys did. They love that drift because it's so expressive, it's so solid, it's so poseable. They don't mind not having the alt mode because it looks like drift, it feels like drift, it poses like drift. The alt mode is not a missing part anymore.
But my counterpoint is kind of twofold. Kind of build on what you're saying there, though. Yes, it is nice to have a figure, and that's a lot of people's argument for Action Masters. I know Orson loves Action Masters because he said it gave us a more cartoon accurate, or at the time, the most cartoon accurate, most posable version of the G1 characters that we had up until recent years. You know, you could they were more playable, I guess, in some sense. But in this day and age, there's absolutely zero excuse to have a non-transforming Transformer that A, looks good in both modes, and transforms. You know, there's no excuse for it, because in this day and age, the technology has advanced to where they can put the detail, they can put the transformability, they can put the posability in there. We've gotten some absolutely insane versions of characters that we never would have imagined we could get. I mean, look at half the Masterpiece line now. In its entirety, and the third party masterpieces that's out there. I mean, some of these are like the best. I don't see how we could get any better versions of some Generation 1 characters.
Yeah, the problem is, though, it's all based on the medium that you're from. If you're like me and you grew up with G1, G2.
Well, even if it is comic, and that adds to my.
But here's the thing. Transformers is a brand, right? It has to be licensed out to make money. And Hasbro cannot license out a transforming figure. That has to be produced by them.
Because they're competing with
its own competition.
That has to be produced by them. And then there's, you know, issues with the whole Takara thing as well. That has to be anything that transforms has to. That's a figure.
They can't have a collaboration like
to come from Hasbro.
Well, I mean,
they cannot. So when you see that, you know, the Hot Flames Drift and, you know, the other, I forget the names. Maybe it's Metal Force, Optimus, and Megatron. Yeah. The larger figures that
the Moss Toys
demand a premium at retail. Those are licensed, knowing that they are just figures, and that they are not going to be transforming. in any way. And it's a niche market, because what is that drift at retail? Fresh out of the case, $300?
I believe so.
And then there's a
alienates a lot of people right off the bat.
And then the, I mean, I don't know, I'm, you know, spend crazy, and even I'm like, shh, I do love drift, and but then if I get that, I have to get the red one too, and the red one's even harder to get and even more expensive. So, you know, for that reason, it's pushed me away for now. But, you know, there's a sensitivity when it comes to asking to have a license to make something that a toy company itself can make. The only example that I can think of as it pertains to Hasbro are the Jumbo Star Wars Kenner figures and the Jumbo G.I. Joe figures. Those are the only instances where I can, and those you can say were already designed.
Yeah, you mean, right. you mean the ones from Super 7?
I don't think it was Super 7. Maybe it was General Giant.
Okay.
So, you know, there is a sensitivity. Like Mattel. Mattel could have, you know, Super 7 threw a whole monkey wrench in this theory, but Mattel was very sensitive at one point about licensing out things for He-Man that they could in turn do themselves, such as the Jumbo He-Man figures, which General Giant did approach him about. But Mattel's like, no, we're a toy company. We can make those. And now with Matty Collector being gone, that whole paradigm has shifted. You know, people change.
Right.
Positions and, you know, but ideas change.
Basics
so.
Sound. But,
yeah, you can't have a transforming figure that's not made by Hasbro Takara.
What so, now? And then, why can't like a third party company design how it's supposed to look, but Hasbro or Takara do the transformation? You know, it's like a collaboration.
I mean, that's called IDW, right?
Yeah.
Now, why are you paying anybody? See, they already own those assets, though. Once IDW draws a comic book, Hasbro automatically owns those assets.
But you know, so it's just. I think we're getting to the point where we've all said we want to get rid of this 84. Not that we don't like 84, 85, 86, but I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting kind of done with 84, 85, 86 to a degree.
I half love Optimus, the
minor wars.
But you know, how many Optimuses do you need?
Yeah, it's like this is why Siege is doing absolutely nothing for me outside the Ultra Magnus and a couple of the Target Masters. Maybe the Micro Masters once I see them. I don't know. Sideswipe, I don't care about at all.
I'm in it for like, Cog and Lionizer.
Yeah.
It's like having a Star Wars line without R2-D2 or Han or Luke or Vader, right? Or a Stormtrooper. You know, so, you know you're going to have to get it, right? You know so you have to get through those guys to get Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah. It's right. I think with the toy technology, we're getting to the point where they see people are buying hot toys. People are buying Sideshow. They're buying these high dollar, high end posable figures. Yes, they don't transform. The characters never did, or whatever the case may be.
Are they Transformers collectors, or are they collectors of that genre?
Well, I've seen people online that show off their collections that are Transformer collectors, and they collect the 1/6 scale stuff as well.
You know what? Maybe a better question is the statues.
Okay.
Those $1,000 statues, those $600, $700 statues.
Yeah. Now that's something I don't pay much attention to, except for the beautiful, beautiful Unicron lamp that I will never own. I just think what they're doing is they're trying to get that market of those people that want the detail of the robot mode, the posability, the look of the robot mode is more important than the transformation. Yes, it's a very small market, but it's there. And I don't think Flame Toys would be planning all the stuff they've got coming up. I mean, I've heard people say that Tarn, that's to be coming out relatively soon. Now, again, I haven't read the comics, so I don't know. But they say that Tarn looks like he stepped out of the page.
Now, I'm a big Edouard fan, and maybe my position has been confused, but I love action figures based off these characters. But I like them in the adult collectible side of the spectrum, not, I really don't want to see non-transforming characters on the Kitty side.
To finish up
that Drift, that Tarn.
So those are on basically, the adult side. Basically, kind of like we got with the robot replicas.
Yeah, but those are kind of cheap though. You know, yeah. Those are $10. You know, $12, whatever they were. Yeah. You know, like we're talking about something that's like it's a minimum $100. Yeah. That's an adult collectible.
So more like a Figma or something like that.
Yeah.
Figma art.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see,
how many kids are playing with those versus how many adults are putting them on a shelf or in a glass case?
But to finish up my point, though, my counterpoint a while ago on that Don had, you know, he was talking about how if people really love the media, there's a really, really good version of a character out there. Am I saying this right, Don?
Yeah, it's like IDW, they may transform, but it's just more in end service to the plot or driving the story forward.
Well, see,
it's not as a visual thing to enjoy when it's a bloop, 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 they're done.
Yeah, my counterpoint to that though is the Marvel comics back in the 80s, in the early 90s, whenever we were going through the Nucleon Quest, and that was the explanation for the Transformers that couldn't transform. You know, they had went through the Nucleon conversion, or I can't remember what it was called. But the storyline, I really enjoyed that storyline by Simon Furman. I believe it was Furman, wasn't it?
The
Nucleon Quest. Yeah. I really enjoyed that story arc. It was a really good story. And it made sense why you would have Transformers that didn't transform. But to me, personally, that did not translate well into toys. Or the toys that were on the shelf that were supposed to be representing that era in the comics really didn't fit it to me. I mean, they just seemed really cheap. They looked really cheap. They didn't transform. Yeah, the characters were interesting, but just having a cool character wasn't enough. You know, if they had, like, depicted them in the comics, let's say some of them, you know, we saw them before they had been stasis locked into a mode and saw them transform. We knew what their alt modes were. I would be angry if we had no other version of the toy than the one that we got, which was the Action Masters.
You know, let me just make a quick side note here. So I was living out of the country when the comics was happening, and I moved back to the United States early 90s, and my first issue of Transformer Comics was issue 80. Mm. All right, that was the first issue I ever picked up.
Hello, goodbye.
This is a great issue. You know, I can't wait till the next one.
And I couldn't understand, what does it mean, number 80 in a four issue limited series? What does that mean? So you know, looking back on the comics now and how things were marketed and how, you know, certain toys were, you know, kind of pushed to be in there, I think we can all be grateful that the vehicles for the Action Masters didn't make it into the comics. Like, you didn't see Optimus driving around in that truck, or Wheeljack driving around in his hot rod car.
That looks so ridiculous.
Starscream flying around his little helicopter.
I kind of want to see that now.
No.
You know,
Who doesn't want to see that? This guy.
Even Thanos got a helicopter. Come on.
Speaking of bizarre third, you know, licensed goods, anybody see the Thanos saxophone?
Yes.
There's a Thanos saxophone.
Really?
Yes.
There's a Thanos saxophone. Man, that's... Even I admit that that's taking licensing too far.
Wow.
Star Wars toilet paper. Now you can have the same ideas that George
Lucas has. The commodity.
Baseball's the flamethrower.
That's a talking piece. The Thanos saxophone? I mean, what is the kid supposed to do with that?
Blow it.
He enjoyed the saxophone.
And Thanos was...
Any Thanos, it's not even purple.
Kenny G was Thanos the whole time, and we missed it.
Halfway through the song, snap your fingers, and the song, rest of the song disappears.
Just like in a jazz club. Right.
Nobody got that joke, Jim.
Oh, you'll play the saxophone. You got a guy up there singing, snapping his fingers. No?
No.
You guys need to get out more. Go see live music.
Jim.
Oh, I mean, I like
it was
music.
A bad joke. Bad.
Yeah, it's a bad saxophone.
Anyway, MicroMasters.
Which is really worse.
Now, this is something around that era I really got behind. It was toward the tail end of me collecting toys altogether. Around this time, it was whenever I was starting to get interested in Dino Riders. I got really latched onto those. But the Transformers that still held my interest were the MicroMasters. MicroMasters, I believe, came around as a answer to the Micro Machines, which were really hot at that time.
Yep.
Maybe a year or so earlier, but you know, Hasbro says, hey, we can do that, but we can make them transform. And I really digged them. You know, I mean, they were great.
And it's interesting that these were all new characters. It wasn't just like, hey, it's MicroMaster Optimus. It's MicroMaster Gears. However, when I was a kid, I had the Off-Road Patrol. And to me,
Powertrain was Huffer.
Yeah, I was playing with like MicroMaster Ironhide and MicroMaster Gears, and you know, as a kid, one of my favorite things ever was the Countdown base, and yes. I played the hell out of that thing. Man, I can't tell you how many times I launched that rocket off that launch pad. That was one of my favorite toys of all time.
Sounds like me when I was 19. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Don's like, oh God.
I was 10, you know, so Don was like 25 ish. So, but anyway, you know, man, this is almost 20 years ago when eBay was just getting started. A bunch of MicroMaster designs showed up on eBay. So, Dom, do you remember that when a bunch of the unused MicroMaster designs showed up?
I don't remember that.
Some of them, man, I wish I had pictures of them. Some of them were great. A bunch of them showed up on eBay at the same time, and they all went for like $400 or $500. One of them was a belt. It was a racetrack that you clipped around yourself, and it was a belt, and it came with a MicroMaster. And I think all the MicroMasters were redecos. Another one was a wristband that had a piece of track, like a Hot Wheels track, you know, pliable. You'd unclip it, lay it down, you can roll your MicroMaster on it, and it connects to all the other bases and such.
I don't remember that. The closest thing I remember was a G2, the GoBot racing rig. That's the closest thing I remember to
that. But that's a spy changer, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, you know, that's the closest thing I remember. I don't remember anything with MicroMasters along those lines.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta ask Carl Hartman, because him and I, you know, it seems him and I are the only ones who really remember that.
Yeah, happening. I don't remember it at all, and I was all over eBay around that time.
You know what? It was 2004, 2003-ish, I want to say. So go back and look on eBay. There was a whole bunch of, you know, Action Master concepts I had found at Hasbro. I know I've talked about them before. So, some of them escaped me, but, you know, there was Gnaw, the Sharkticon. There was Thundercracker, and it was an all-new sculpt. Cliffjumper, all-new sculpt. Blue Streak was an all-new sculpt.
Superion, I think, right?
Superion.
These are ones that never got released.
Never got released. Bruticus, which... got reworked into what's his face, There was Omega Supreme, and on the card it actually said Omega Supreme. So, and that's what ended up being Omega Supreme. Somewhere along the lines, somebody made up, you know, made a mistake in the name.
Thank God it never came out Omega Sperm.
Trax came out with a boat, and the boat would transform by flipping upside down. It was a speedboat, and would transform by flipping upside down. There was Perceptor. There was Predaking.
So it would become a gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turned the boat upside down.
Yeah. Upside down submarine. Yeah. There was Hound. There was G1 Hound. And there was a bunch of other new characters, which, you know, didn't have names at the time. But they were all found. I found them all in a big pile in the warehouse, along with the fourth Decepticon headmaster that I've talked about, the Manta Ray, which is actually in the vault book. In the vault book. Yeah, all that stuff got thrown out.
It's sad that we never got that.
When I left. Yeah. It's a shame that all that I had collected all that art in one place to preserve it, and then when I left, they just
conveniently bundled it up and destroyed it.
Yeah, everything got thrown out. There was also Action Master Blur. Remember that one, Action Master Blur. Yeah, Blur and Nah were the only two, like, post-movie guys that I really remember seeing. Oh, well.
I liked the Micromasters a lot more than I ever did Action Masters. The Autobot Battle Patrol was Sunrunner, Flak, and the...
That's one of my favorites.
That's one of my favorite sets. The only thing towards the end, I really got tired of was some of the sameness.
Yeah, they repainted the crap out of them.
Well, not just that, but just
it's like Minicon syndrome.
Yeah, it was sort of like, you know, for every one that you got that was Tote, that had a slightly different transformation. They were all like Road Handler or Swindler, you know, flip the feet back, flip the hood back, raise the arms, and that just got to be really kind of annoying after a point. When you had interesting designs like, you know, the Autobot Battle Patrol, and you had Tote.
These guys. When I was growing up, that was Gears, Huffer, Trailbreaker, and Ironhide. No question about it.
Yeah, of that whole set, I've always liked Tote the best, and I don't know why. He's just a little... Yeah.
I was always partial to Powertrain. I liked him, too.
High Jump was my favorite. He had, I thought, the coolest transformation.
Now, my favorite, I liked the Autobot Battle Patrol, but my favorite was the Autobot Race Car Patrol. I loved Tailspin, Swindler, Road Handler. I mean, Tailspin, they each had like a unique look to them. Yeah. They looked like they could translate well into a larger toy, in my opinion.
You know, if we still had the molds for these, wouldn't it be great to just redeco these as like
the Combaticons?
Onslaught, Vortex... You know, Brawl.
Cybertron Defense Scattershot.
You take High Jump and you make them into Swindle or...
Yeah.
Make them look like the World War II versions.
Somebody still has some Micromaster molds, because have you seen Dollar Tree lately?
No.
There are knockoffs, like little military vehicles. One of them looks like it was maybe one of the Armada Minicons or Classics Minicons. I can't tell for sure.
But that's not a Micromaster.
One of them, I'm pretty sure, is Flak. But they're larger. They're more like Legend scale now. But I'm pretty sure one or two of them are Micromaster molds. So that I think they're still floating around there somewhere.
Well, warehouse. The factory that made them, I'm sure, is probably either long gone or the molds are lost. I would assume. Why would we not have something like that anymore? To me, it seemed like it would have been something that could have been done back around Armada time, you know, the Unicron trilogy. You know, just like RID brought back the Combaticons as the Combatrons or Ruination.
Combatrons.
It would have been really neat to see some of the Micromasters come back as Minicons. you know, just with an added Minicon port. You know, that would have been that would have been cool.
It's funny that we never got we never got Metroplex reissued or retooled when the MicroMasters came out. He would have been a perfect playset. You know, we got him in as Metro Titan in Japan.
At that point, the production cost of that figure might have been more than what they wanted to put into it.
It's kind of like the RID Bullet Team right now, or Bullet Train. You know, it's just not cost effective to make that anymore.
They'd be $29 Studio Series figures, Voyagers at this point with that much plastic.
Sure.
So what do you think MicroMasters, how do you think those impacted the Transformers brand as a whole? I mean, back in the day, I really didn't see them as something that was like game changing. I just saw them as something cool. But I think really they were a prelude to the Transformers future. I think without MicroMasters, we may have never gotten Minicons. Didn't Aaron Archer actually say on the show here at one time, or maybe at a convention, that he was inspired to do Minicons because of the MicroMasters? Wasn't that something he said? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't remember that. I mean, it's certainly possible. You know, I here we are all these years later. MicroMaster started in 89, right? Or 1990.
90, I believe.
And
MicroMasters?
Maybe 89.
And
yeah.
Here we are finally revisiting some of those characters.
Yep.
And it's a good time to be an old G1 collector. You're getting G1 reissues in the stores. It's amazing that, you know, I assume one day I'll find one in the store, but I can take my kid and I can show her a G1 Transformer like the one Daddy has in his cases, and I can buy it and I can give it to her and play with it with her and put it on her shelf.
Well, they are starting to show up stateside.
Yeah, whenever
this week.
How are the primes?
The hot rods.
Oh, the reissues.
Yeah, the reissues. Yeah, yeah. I have a couple extra hot rods because Walmart was nice enough to pack both hot rods that I ordered inside of a box that wouldn't fit one hot rod. So I have two smashed hot rod boxes. So I'm going to give one to each of my girls. But I have this hot rod box for me, for Daddy.
Aha.
And then they're going to ask, Daddy, why is my hot rod backwards in the box?
That's why we have locks on these cases.
Yeah.
We have locks. Big, bulletproof locks.
So they could even shoot a gun at them and not...
Bulletproof, yeah. Really?
I mean, they could shoot the glass, but, you know, they can't shoot the lock.
So, I had a thought, and it escaped. My astral train of thought transformed and flew into space.
All right. Things we wish we could have seen in Action Masters as a kid, right? Besides G1 characters.
Well, wait a minute. Before we go back to Action Masters.
No, I'm sorry. I meant MicroMasters. Okay. Things we wish we could have seen in MicroMasters as a kid, besides G1 characters, right? A triple changer would have been really cool, right? How about a base, like a transport vehicle that was actually a G1 character, like Astro Train or, you know, G1 Optimus that opened up, or Ironhide, and it transformed and opened up into a playset. Grimlock. We never got MicroMaster Dinobots.
Or a MicroMaster Megatron that could actually fit in the hand of a bigger Transformer.
At the time, the two, they wouldn't have been able to connect the two. And nobody would have thought about that. But
I'm sitting here, I can't think. I mean, I like the MicroMasters we got. I think by the end, by the time it was done, I was kind of like with Minicons. If I see another Minicon again, it'll be, you know, too soon.
But MicroMasters, I mean, I'm just jealous of Japan that they got the combiners.
Yeah, that was going to be my wish back in Generation 1. We never had combining outside of the two the ones that you could put the two together, but we never had like Gestalt combiners. There's a word you haven't heard in a while. We never got Gestalt combiners.
Closest we got was
in the United States.
That was a pretender. That was before the MicroMasters.
I get that. I'm just saying that the scale of the individuals, that's the closest we got here in the States until Transformers Universe, when we finally got Six Turbo and all them.
Yeah, but that's years later. We're talking about
Sears and KB
back in the day.
And how crazy is it that those actually came out in the U.S. all those years later?
Yeah, at Sears, at Kmart, at KB.
And now they're hard to find in and of themselves. Now,
I mean, it would have been cool to have, you know, MicroMaster Jazz, MicroMaster Optimus, MicroMaster Ironhide, and Bumblebee, and
Overload. I think was like the closest thing we got to some kind of Optimus Magnus looking thing.
Yeah,
he had the car transport, and on the figure itself had the chest windows and all that.
Yeah. Now, what about the? I want to talk about this little joke. That really slipped by the Hasbro marketing and everything back in the day.
Is this Erector?
No. Erector is one thing. No,
this is.
Yeah. Erector is one thing. And by the way, that is the only MicroMaster, complete MicroMaster I have to this day. But what about the tagline for the MicroMasters? Micro size has the power to surprise. How did that slip by the censors?
Because only
a dirty mind.
It was still an age of innocence.
Nobody's like that anymore.
You know, like headmasters.
Yeah.
It was headmasters. Still an age of
thrust.
Thrust. We still have thrust. You know, ripper, snapper, cutthroat. You know, we still have those. There was a time where we couldn't use the name Cutthroat or Breakdown.
Really?
Yeah, because they were seen. Nobody wants to think of their toy as breaking, so you can't call him Breakdown.
Yeah.
So we made a character called Breakdown in the show.
It's like, here you go.
Of which they didn't release the toy in the U.S.
But it was the right colors.
Right.
On the cartoon. On the show, yes. Was he supposed to be a straight up homage to G1 Breakdown because of that, or do you recall?
Dead End and Knockout.
No, Breakdown, Prime Breakdown.
Yes,
because
he had nothing to do with the G1 version.
I know, but his colors was very similar to G1 Breakdown.
Had nothing to do with it. Just a complete new. Just rebranding and nothing to do with the G1 version at all.
Oh, that's sad then. Because whenever he came up on screen, I'm like, at least his colors are right.
we always said, out of all the Decepticons, Knockout was the only one that couldn't die. We said he cannot die. He has to live to be in the next TV series, which is why he joins the Autobots at the end.
But he
I wasn't really
in the next.
For him. Joining the Autobots, but we were very adamant that he had to live.
Huh. It sort of shows how bad RID 2015 connected to Prime, except at the very last minute.
Too little, too late, man. Yep. But I gotta say, you know, I've seen maybe three or four episodes of RID, of the RID. I've seen the first four episodes of Cyberverse, and I really like it. I'm really enjoying the show. Yeah, you know, I don't really like Grimlock in the show, but overall, I like the design, the animation, and
what's up
the
with
story
the episode length, though?
What's up with the what?
The length of the episodes.
You know, they don't take into account commercial
aren't
they break.
Supposed to be webisodes or something? Or are they on Cartoon Network?
They're not on Cartoon Network yet, but I they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're on Cartoon Networks. You can actually find them.
They're on the Hasbro YouTube channel, I think, right now. You can get them. But the first four episodes are pretty good. I like the story. You know, it's simple. It's something kids and adults can get into. It's not animated good, but it's pretty good.
It's too bad the toys are kind of shit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But between Cyberverse and with what I've seen of Siege so far, there's very little mainline product I'm going to be buying.
Which, again, brings me back to the point I was making earlier. 25 years from now, the kids who grew up with Cyberverse, what are they going to expect out of a Masterpiece figure?
Something that's not crap.
Given the fact that they've pretty much transitioned into what's being called the Evergreen designs, where Optimus always looks like G1 Optimus and, you know, so on and so forth, I'd wager they'd probably want basically what we've got in Masterpiece now, but newer versions.
You know, is it going to have the swinging arm action that the Cyberverse version has?
Sure.
Or the lack of paint.
You know,
don't put too much paint on it, because then it won't be Cyberverse.
To that end, though, I'm going to argue to the point that, because right now we have kids that grew up with the Unicron trilogy. They're getting up old enough now to where they have disposable incomes. You know, they're getting their first jobs or getting into college and everything. They have some money and they can go buy better versions of toys.
Unicron
they can go,
trilogy?
Yeah.
They're old enough to drink.
Yeah.
The Beast Wars kids are finally getting their masterpieces. Let's say it like that.
Very slowly, though. Very, very slowly.
Very expensively.
Yeah. The thing is, my point is that, a few years ago, whenever the Beast Wars kids were starting to get old enough to start having their own disposable income, they didn't have the same luxury as we had, having, like, lots of G1, homages and all the, like, two different reissue lines going at the same time. You had the Takara TFC book-style reissues. You had the Hasbro commemorative series. A lot of them shared the same releases, a lot that were not. But, you know, we got a lot of stuff like that. But what did the Beast Wars people got? They got that really short-lived Beast Wars 20th line that was just a few releases. They've gotten an homage here and there. Nothing really substantial. And now they've gotten three masterpieces. Well, technically four masterpieces if you count Shadow Panther.
Universe 2.0 and what was the other one? Generations.
Yeah, but they were still young enough at that time that those were still toys for them.
Yeah.
If you think about it. They were still on the tail end probably of their demographic. But my thing is that I wonder if there ever actually will be a time whenever we will see Hasbro and Takara move away from. I know Generation 1 will always have an effect and a presence in Transformers brand because it's what started it all. But I'm wondering if there will ever be a time when they will decrease the focus on that and increase the focus on later lines and giving us more and more better. And I know that's bad grammar, but more and more better product.
Well, inspired me to ask a different question, and I'm going to ask Don this question. Speak to him directly, man to man. Dom.
Yes.
Do you think there'll be a time where you and I are old enough where we just kind of walk away from the brand?
Yes. Because sooner or later, I mean, I find myself each year still liking a lot of the stuff, but it's like I haven't even watched Cyberverse yet. I think it's just the fact that I've been involved with it for so long, I'm burning out to a degree. Not that I'm going to stop collecting completely, but I look at what I have now, how much sheer amount of crap that I've got. And you know, this goes back to, I don't mean to be depressed. It's just, you know, we've all talked about our collections and what happens to our collections when we pass away. And, you know, we lost JD a couple years ago on Radio Free Cybertron. And
that's Chad here.
And Chad here. And, but, you know, JD's widow sent me about 20 boxes of his stuff. And I'm still trying to piece together and sell what I can. But it's mostly Armada, Energon, and Cybertron, and there's just not a huge market for a lot of that stuff. But I'm selling what I can, and I'm sending her, you know, what I can, although it's not as frequent as I want it to be. And I look at my stuff, and it's like, you know, I've got to stop. And
I want to stop, but I don't want to get out of the fandom.
Well, that's just it, you know. And I've got a really good friend that he collects. But he is absolutely not involved with the fandom in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't read the comics. He doesn't go to boards. He'll watch the media from time to time. But, you know, it's like I have to use, hey, oh, hey, by the way, the new Masterpiece was announced, because he would have never seen it, because he doesn't listen to the podcasts, any podcasts. But he loves the brand. He's like the opposite end of me. Whereas I'm
and probably knows very little, if anything, about third party.
Exactly. He likes when I show him stuff that I think he'll like the Death. He's a big Death's Head fan. He liked the Death's Head that was done for TFCon last year, but the price was extremely prohibitive to him for what it was. So, and the reason I'm saying that is because I need to walk away more than I have. I need to say, okay, I'm stopping here. But as you can see by the two links, there's that Yizhang Blue Omega that's coming out that I would like to have, you know, a different version, a different Omega mold in the blue. There's all this stuff coming out from Magic Square and Hot Toys, the smaller Legends figures. I saw the Ultra Magnus. There's a transmission video on Magic Square's Ultra Magnus. It's like a little mini Masterpiece. It looks really good, and I really want it. So, yeah, Rick, I think there's going to be a time where I won't need to just say, that's it. Just because I don't want to put someone in a situation where they have to do some of my collection. Because when I leave, I want to leave just as little as possible for anybody to have to deal with. So, that kind of takes a little of a morbid turn, but it does relate to that episode we talked about this. And I think every collector is going to run into that sooner or later, and they're very collection.
You know, I'm in a different position. You know, I've got two kids that I know of. Yeah, and I've already told my wife, like second wife, she needs to have her own kids, because I'm not putting any more out. I just need to take it all off the shaft, the balls. I just need like a metal plate down there, so there's like no risk of me getting anyone pregnant. But I digress.
Lord Varys.
You know, I'm setting up my collection room. It's a process. It takes a long, long time. It takes a lot of money. I've been in this house, you know, 2.5 years, and it's not done yet. There's so much left to do. But I have my two girls, and they like Transformers, and especially Casey. And I have someone to leave it to. So I wonder if there'll ever be a point where I step away.
Don't care.
There was a point where I stepped away and I didn't collect as vigorously, where I didn't pick up every licensed good, where I didn't collect all of RID. There's RID figures I don't have, or figures I only have one of from RID. So I've been kind of playing catch up with that, but I don't know. Will I ever get to that point? I don't know. I'm waiting for my girls to grow up, and then we'll be doing toy runs together for the sole purpose of putting something in the basement. So I have that to look forward to.
You guys will be going around looking for Masterpiece versions of the retro Cyberverse figures.
If there's any stores left, and we don't have to just, you know, click on Amazon.
Yeah.
By that time, KB Toy Stores will have come and gone at least twice. Yes. And Toys R We will have risen and gone away.
Toys are nosotros.
Juguetes son nosotros. That's a lot of words to put up on the side of a building.
Went to Mexico.
I don't know. I think it'd be more likely that KB Toys would come back and merge with the corpse of Toys R Us, and they just call themselves Weeby Toys.
God, I want to reach through the computer and slap you, Jim. I want you so badly.
I've got some catching up to do.
Jim, are you going to TFCon?
Huh?
Are you going to the TFCon?
No, I'm not able to.
Oh, thank God.
I passed through Indianapolis on the way there.
And on that note of implied violence.
I'm just saying it's been
no, there will be violence. There will be violence.
All this pent-up nonsense. You know,
yeah. He's got 40 years of pent up nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, pretty bad for 35. You know,
I'm glad I was able to come back for the show today. It just gives me such a warm feeling.
Didn't you miss us, Don? We missed you.
hey, Dom, did you get anything exciting in that you want to talk to us about it for a third or fourth time? Like maybe like a White Optimus or something.
No, I'm good.
Well, my thing is that, you know, I've said it before on the show. I want to stop. There's a day I want to get to that. Okay, I'm done buying the toys.
That's why I didn't ask you the question.
That's not
because you go through this. You're a yo-yo. You're one of those guys that goes up and down with the whole thing.
No, the thing is,
you're always going to be friends of Orson. Unless he gets out of it too, you're not out of it until he's out of it.
The thing is I don't want to get rid of the toys that I have. I don't want to. I just want to stop buying.
That's not going to happen as long as you have the toys, dude. Because you're going to see something. Oh, wow, they made a cool masterpiece so-and-so. Shit, you know what? I'll just get one toy.
Turns into a wheel.
There's always that one more piece.
I'll just get this, you know, masterpiece huffer I got to have, or this MicroMaster masterpiece, you know, tote that I need in my collection, or
masterpiece werewolf.
I
have that right here. Touch it right now.
He's masterpiece Axor doesn't actually transform. He's just really articulated, and parts of him look like they transform, but he actually doesn't transform.
No.
You can still lay him down on his back in the whole world, though.
Speaking of not Transformers, I want to spend the last few minutes of the podcast talking about the Bumblebee movie. not Transformers. I'll state right off the bat, outside of the very first teaser trailer we have, I haven't watched anything. I'm going to try and steer away from watching the trailer altogether. I want to be sitting in that theater, and I want to have no preconceptions. I want to see if I can enjoy this film
film. Shit on that right now, because you know you're going to be on Twitter, and you're, oh, here's a gift of the trailer. Oh, here's a side-by-side comparison of the trailer.
That's what I'm going to see. Yeah.
You're going to be exposed to it, man, no matter what you do.
And so, I don't want to.
How are we going to discuss this without spoilers, then? And spoiling it for Dron.
You know, yeah. How are we going to discuss this on your show without, you know, spoilers? I really like that one thing I saw on the trailer where the one guy did the one thing with the other dude. Who knew that other dude was in there? Wow.
Yeah, or when they showed that shot of that one dude that we've already seen.
If I knew we were going to talk about spoilers, I would have had Sergio on here.
See, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna talk about how this trailer. I haven't been this excited for a Transformers movie since the first one, and I actually think this movie looks good.
Yeah. Except for Starscream Blitzwing.
I still think he's Starscream. I think that guy was just
misinformation.
Like, you know, we'll just, you know, campaign on misinformation. But from everything I've seen, man, how I wish this would have been a straight up reboot. I wish that this had been a straight up reboot, because it's the movie so many of us wanted in 2007. Not the movie that we needed, it's not the movie that we got, but it's the movie that we wanted. And from the few things that we've seen, Soundwave, that Ravage popping out of his chest. And
spoiler.
No, Optimus it's fine.
Prime, straight fine. Up G1 Optimus Prime, you know, G1 Volkswagen car. This, I mean, granted, you're going to be weighed down with all the World War II shit in there about Bumblebee and Hot Rod and,
Well, while I'm thinking about it, too.
Topher Grace to do like a fan edit where he takes out all the shit that connects it to the Michael Bay movies. You know, the ones that I worked on. And he just makes it the Bumblebee story. It's like 45 minutes long, but it's a damn good movie.
Right.
It's like you're not saying you're embarrassed, are you, Rick?
I'm not embarrassed. I just, as a fan and as someone who takes pride that I've been able to create something and a medium that's seen by many people, I wish this had been a reboot.
Do you still think, let me throw this out there for you guys. Do you think this will be a game changer for the Transformers film franchise?
I do.
Say yes.
I really do. I see lots of potential. I see this has the opportunity to possibly be the Transformers equivalent to what X-Men First Class was to the X-Men brand.
Agreed. That's a good analogy.
It goes back and it goes in a different direction.
Yeah.
And they could do that.
And you know what happened after X-Men First Class? We got Days of Future Past, which was fucking amazing.
Right?
I know Dom hasn't seen any Transformers movies since the first one because he's still playing catch up.
I've seen all the movies.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I've seen all the movies to my regret, but I've seen all the movies.
Much to your chagrin.
Just remember this. Every Transformers movie negates the story of the previous Transformers movie. Every movie does that. Mm. So how will this negate the entire existence of the five movies that came before it? That's what I want to know. Like, are we going to see Grimlock walking around? Right? In the background, we're gonna have like a Grimlock cameo, or we're gonna have like
The thing is, I don't know. By the time The Last Knight failed because it didn't make all the money, it made some of the money, not all of the money.
It didn't fail per se. It just
didn't meet
the accolades of the previous films.
Yeah. And I stole that from an online reviewer that I watched for video games, so that was not my line, but them making all the money. But I don't know how much they could have... If they got the idea to make the Bumblebee movie into something that, if successful, can be the launch for the new franchise, mm-hmm. I don't know how much they could have gotten done between The Last Knight ending, its subsequent failure... And then the movie Bumblebee coming out. I don't know how much they could have gotten done to make it not look like a chop job, to make it a reboot.
That's true.
I don't know. It's like we could do this, but we'll gut the movie. It'll look like crap. Yeah. Or we can have a good movie and then sort of hand wave away the first five. And then start the next movie with whatever.
And I think maybe they're trying to do that. We'll see what happens. But you know, the kicker is going to be if like does Agent Simmons show up? Oh God!
Please don't let kicker be in there.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Energon kicker.
If Agent Simmons shows up, then we're kind of locked into something.
Yeah.
You know, see, like Bumblebee was in development before The Last Knight came out. Yeah. So I understand your point. There's only so much you can do rather than, you know, delay the film and then you delay product and license. And that's just a whole mess. Look at what happened with G.I. Joe 2. It killed the brand.
Thanks, Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, don't put it on him.
He's probably the only good thing about the movie.
Yeah.
Well, now
saying much.
You know, here's my thing. If the Bumblebee movie is successful enough and they have tweaked it enough that it can be the starting point for a new movie franchise.
And it's successful.
If it's successful and the content can be taken as it is for a reboot. They could always start with the first part of this new movie with everything in the first five still taking place, but you pick up with the movie universe Transformers the movie. Have Megatron and Optimus's final fight on Earth, and then Hot Rod becomes Rodimus Prime, and basically do post-movie season three of the movie, since the whole Unicron thing will basically probably just have to be kind of hand-waved away or addressed later.
While that sounds awesome, Don, I would love to see that. Seeing the track record that we've seen in previous Transformer movies, we have all this fan wink that we would love to see. You know, I want to see them do this. I want to see them do that. We just get a faint shadow of what they are. You know, it's like we wanted to see Combiners, and we got that monstrosity that is a Devastator. You know, we wanted to see Headmasters, and we got Cogman.
That was never a headmaster because all the scenes were cut.
Yeah.
They called him a headmaster, though. They just didn't show it.
Yeah.
Right.
Did they actually make headmaster footage?
I don't know if it was filmed and not shown or not filmed, but he's, like Jim says, he's referenced as a headmaster. Mm. The Nitro Zeus toy has compatibility with Cogman.
I thought in the movie, headmaster, like he's the headmaster of the estate.
It was a double meaning, but.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just saying if they do a Star Wars screen crawl or through flashback, rectify all the Unicron stuff. I know it wouldn't be fair to people who want to see how that pans out, but it's too much of a painted into a corner, and maybe you could have Optimus and Megatron fighting. Because of the whole Unicron thing, it ties up through that part of the movie, which ties to Bumblebee, and then you have Rodimus's hero's journey to become Rodimus Prime. And so basically everything happened, but it's now in the past. We're looking at season three of the Transformers live action movieverse going forward. And then they can take what they learned with Bumblebee and hopefully make better movies.
I'm not sure that type of approach would necessarily work quite so well given the track record of the live action films so far. But I have a feeling that, you know, we would probably end up with Michael Bay presents Carnage in C minor.
Well, no, I'm saying
Michael Bay's not directing it anymore. Yeah.
But see, this
was, that is true. That is true. I forgot about that. You're right. You're right.
They've already established that
Unicron is Earth. So if they did the movie thing, would he show up out of the cosmos and eat himself, or how's that work?
No, I'm saying they. Again, it's not the best storytelling device, but if they threw flashback or threw Optimus and Megatron were fighting, and it reveals during the course of the fight how all that played out. Yes, it would not be the ideal situation, but. If what we're seeing in Bumblebee, which I think has given us all a little bit more hope for a good movie compared to what we usually get when we see these movies, trailers and previews and such. Not enough for a Blue Lantern ring, but a little bit of hope.
So, I think what's more likely is that they pull like a Halloween where it's like movies didn't happen. No, those movies didn't happen. This is the real sequel to the 1978 movie.
You know, or maybe what they'll do is they'll pull a Star Trek 2009 and the fight with Unicron somehow somehow shunts Bumblebee and a new core cast of characters
into a different universe, into a
new parallel universe.
So does that mean that Bumblebee's going to go to some ice planet and run into G1 Optimus Prime in the cave?
No, a time traveling elderly Shia LaBeouf.
No, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying,
Jim,
that.
Jim, you've redeemed yourself.
Yes, yeah.
You're welcome.
So, again, this is way out there, and I know people are shaking their heads saying, "Don, that's not possible." But I'm just saying, if they don't want to piss off the fans of this first 10 years, and they want to do a new slate, if they take what they've learned from this Bumblebee movie with what we're seeing so far, make the new first movie in the same spirit as this Bumblebee movie as it appears to be, if they do the whole alternate continuity, maybe destroying Unicron did a reset. And
at the end of the movie, what's going to happen is,
you know,
half the characters turn to ash and they just disappear.
Well, wait a minute.
That's already been done. Gauntlet.
Somebody activates the Unicron Gauntlet, right? They got to collect all six matrixes.
No, the Unicron Gauntlet.
Optimus, I don't feel so good.
It'd be
a gauntlet with all 13 Prime Masters.
Well, then Unicron will never complete it.
No, many cons. They stick all over the gauntlet.
Nice.
Anyway, that's my theory, is that what they could do. There's no telling what's going to happen. We could either be incredibly surprised or like, oh, they're doing this again. Okay.
That's part of the reason why I want to stay away from as much of the... I mean, I'm not going to say I will not watch a trailer at all, because like Rick said, there's going to be so much out there. I just don't want to be spoiled on as much of the plot as possible. I was rather successful with it with Age of Extinction. You know, I watched the teaser trailer and I watched, I think, the very first movie trailer that came out, and that was it. And the only thing I saw regarding Age of Extinction was, you know, every now and then somebody show up a picture. Well, this is a Hot Rod design. You know, this is what he's going to look like. He's going to be this kind of Lambo. That's fine, but I don't want the entirety of the movie to be spoiled. That being said, I still didn't enjoy Age of Extinction. And it wasn't because the action wasn't good. It wasn't because I didn't like the character choices and everything. I'm fine with Hot Rod having that stupid French accent. It's. But the story was just horrible, in my opinion.
All right, let me ask you this. When the first Transformers movie came back way out in 2007.
I was jazzed.
Did you see every single trailer you could?
Yes.
And was the movie ruined for you?
No. But, I believe it was Revenge of the Fallen. I did the same thing, and the movie was kind of ruined for me.
The movie was ruined the day it was ended and put on the shelf to be edited. That thing came out ruined.
Well, that was mainly because of a writer's strike.
Revenge of the Fallen is total and complete dreck.
Well, writer strike or no writer strike, your face. Where did the wrecking balls come from? None of those Constructicons had a wrecking ball.
They were there for comedic value, that's it.
I mean, the rule of funny covers that. Well,
I'm just trying to did they wait until he was combined in order to descend, or
did one of them hang lower than the other?
It's possible there were other Constructicons we didn't see. The whole idea of Devastator in the movie was that the more Constructicons you had, the bigger he could be. So if he had 1,000 Constructicons, he could be ginormous.
Was that ever established?
It wasn't established, but that was the idea that we knew that behind the scenes.
So he's basically...
That's why there were different Constructicons running around the battlefield while Devastator is
destroying them.
So he's not so much Combiner as much as he is Lego.
No, for the Digimon fans watching, Jim, he's
Shoutmon Cross 7. Oh, Jim.
I'm saying, you're talking infinite combination.
Infinite possibilities.
Right.
Yeah, infinite combination of crap plus crap still equals crap.
Well, I believe we've had some great thoughts and discussion brought up tonight. I think you guys have put out some good ideas. Hope you guys who are watching and listening have enjoyed it. We'd love to hear your comments and questions. Post them in the comments here on the video, or go to our Twitter page, at TFYOP. I'd love to hear from you on there. And as well as our Facebook page at facebook.com/groups/TFYOP.
Your face.
Yes.
Get New York fresh.
I want to put this this feeler out there. Anybody that wants to put out a question that or a topic that you would love to, for us to either revisit or something that we haven't even touched on, maybe that we could possibly touch on, feel free to send us a message or tweet it to us or post it on our Facebook page. I'm kind of wanting to do like another listener question episode. We've had a couple of those in the past that seem really good. I really want to get as many out there as possible. You know, that way if we can do maybe a quick fire, some questions too. Don't be shy. Feel free to ask. We'd love to hear from you. You guys have any closing thoughts or comments?
Well, on the Bumblebee movie, the more I see of it, the more I'm thinking he's just going to do nothing but the beeps and the radio stuff. I'm hoping they do some kind of flashback at some point, maybe earlier in the film or whatever, where we actually see Bumblebee speak before his voice gets damaged, or actually see that happen to him. You know, I'm hoping they at least address that in some way, because I would love, I mean, I know it's the fanboy in me, but I would love to hear Dan Gilvezen and his voice come out of Bumblebee at least once.
We can want and crap in one hand, hand and crap in the other, and see which one fills up faster.
I'm just hoping for a Peter Cullen cameo as the avatar of the guy who's driving the Optimus truck. That's all I've ever wanted.
I do have to give props to John Bailey for getting into the trailer, though. This most recent one where you hear Optimus speaking, he says Bumblebee, and that is Cullen, but the rest of the phrase is spoken by John Bailey. They kind of blended the two.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's subtle, but you notice it.
How do you know that?
You can hear it. You can tell Peter.
Do you
Cullen's
know that
Optimus,
for a fact?
John Bailey's
though.
Optimus.
Yeah, do you know that for a fact?
Just listen to it for yourself.
Do you know it for a fact?
I'm asking if you know it for a fact, because what you're doing is spreading fake news.
Don't be a Trumper.
I'm telling you, I posted the video.
So you don't know it for a fact.
You don't know it for a fact.
As the source, you can go through and listen for yourself and reach your own conclusion. But in my... Okay.
Your own conclusion.
Okay, let me say this.
Your conclusions may not be based on fact.
In my opinion. There.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, there we go.
Thank you.
I believe it to be John Bailey for most of that phrase, except for the word Bumblebee, which is spoken, in my opinion, by Peter Cullen.
The fact probably that they blend two different actors probably like violates all sorts of rules, seeing how they're both still living. So that violates all sorts of like union rules, in my opinion. So
I doubt that, yeah.
Well, it is also for a movie trailer, too.
Yeah. So anyway, Don, you haven't...
Your haircut's stupid, Jim.
It's in the TF Wild P group.
Your haircut's stupid and it makes me mad.
Ah.
What was that during? I couldn't
Do you have any closing thoughts or comments?
Well, one, it's good to be back. I apologize for not being on. It's just with my work schedule now, it's very hard to be off early.
Hopefully now that we're going to be recording a little bit later, it should help.
Going into the holiday season, you know, I'm sure we'll have a holiday-themed episode coming up before too long on all that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Just again, as a heads up, all the toys are going to be rolling out, you know, no pun intended, you know, so, you know, try to help your fellow collectors out. And again, like we did on RFC for Operation Beehive, if you see a lot of toys that are, you know, clogging the shelves and Cyberverse and other things that, you know, you think the kids would enjoy, for the Salvation Army or whatever group is taking up toys. The Marine Corps does it a lot. So whatever group you feel most comfortable donating to, use this opportunity to donate some good toys and to help clear the shelves for other product to come out. You know, it's just a good thing to do this time of year, you know, and also help you out. If you see something new, help your fellow collectors out, until, because we're still having distribution problems. Yes. Stuff ain't showing
Nova
up.
Star. There's still some people out there looking for Nova Star.
Yeah. So yes. Just, you know, going into the holiday season, just everyone try to help out your fellow fans as best you can. Just because this, like these Walmart reissues, they're going to be probably sporadic at best for a while.
And if they do hit shelves, they're probably not going to last long.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I'm looking for is Devastator, because I have the gift set. I got it at Sears Outlet at Christmas in July for $14 in 1986. But I would like a better box, one in the box, just for my nostalgia purposes. But, you know, just everyone try to help everybody out. You know, report when you find stuff. And let's just try to help everybody out going into the holiday season, because the distribution is bad enough. We all need help finding this.
So help clear the shelves for the stores to not restock.
Oh, Jim, if you want to get cynical about it, sure.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week on TFYLP. Thank you for joining us. Good night, everybody.
Night, all. Take care.
Good night.
Stop holding up that piece of crap, Jim. Nobody cares.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.